The latest U.S. Census survey shows that poverty declined last year to stand at 14.7%, while median household income grew 5.2%. But that still leaves 43 million people in poverty and large income disparities. Michigan saw modest improvements, yet the Upper Peninsula recorded a 17% poverty rate, with median income significantly below the state average. All this points to a need for assistance challenging virtually every community. We'll talk to some helping agency representatives working to get people through it, just ahead on Media Meet. Hello, and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are Marquette County Salvation Army Captain Doug Winters, UP St. Vincent de Paul Executive Director Lori Schmidt, and Room at the Inn Executive Director Douglas Russell. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
First let's do a bit of background on your organizations. Captain Winters, Salvation Army is a Christian charitable organization that began as a London street ministry in 1865 and now has a worldwide membership of 1.5 million people with over 7,500 centers in communities across the United States. Could you briefly describe the Marquette area operation, your job, staffing and services?
Yeah, thank you. Two of those 7,500 locations are here in Marquette County, so okay. in Ishpeming and in Marquette. In both locations, we have food pantries serving food on a daily basis for people to take with them. We also have feeding programs in both locations. We have caseworkers in both locations as well to work with people, help them find the services that they need. Other miscellaneous programs, we have a backpack program that sends food home with kids over the weekend called Cat Packs, run here out of NMU, NMU students. And then backpack programs when school starts, other miscellaneous activities like that.
Okay. Lori, the Marquette Diocese is the pastoral district for Upper Peninsula Catholics. Could you tell us about the St. Vincent de Paul Society, a Catholic lay organization that serves about 4,500 U.S. communities. Apart from food pantries, does the council work with the society in various ways?
Yes, we do have the food pantries. We're known for our thrift stores. Oftentimes people think of us first. We have 17 across the Upper Peninsula, which is more than any other state that has St. Vincent de Paul. Yeah. And it started by the local people, so we're there to accept donations and sell goods, but we give vouchers for people who need household goods, furniture, clothing, things like that.
I had made indirect reference there to the Diocesan Council. Could you explain what that is?
Well, the Diocesan Council is the umbrella for the UP. We have 32 conferences across the Upper Peninsula, and affiliated with that, we have 20 pantries and 17 thrift stores. And then we offer a variety of services. It's the typical clothing, food, but we offer emergency prescription assistance. We have a soup kitchen in one location. We have temporary shelter in another location. So it just depends on the community and what's needed.
Okay. Doug Russell, Room at the Inn is an interfaith coalition working to provide support and shelter for homeless people in the Marquette area. Mm-hmm. Could you briefly tell us how it came about? How it works for homeless people, and how it's staffed and managed?
Well, it was actually a St. Vincent de Paul volunteer who encountered a homeless man in February, about 10 years ago, and at that time realized that there really were no services for the homeless in terms of providing shelter. And so she was able to, and her, Helen McCormick was our founder, but she quickly was able to get together with Larry Zemkowski, I believe from the Catholic services here in Marquette, and Pastor Chris Kostolansky. And they together helped to create Room at the Inn. They contacted local churches to create a rotating shelter based on a model from Macomb County in downstate Michigan.
Really?
And that started fall of 2007. And today we have 12 different churches that participate of different denominations. And every night between September and May, we are host to 15 to 20 guests. And That's every night. And then our warming center is open every morning for our guests and for the community.
Okay. It's clear that each organization here draws inspiration from religion. Also, there are some overlapping activities, I noticed. Is cooperation common between groups, and where are the most significant overlaps as you see them?
Want to start?
Yes, we do collaborate. We have different programs. We call one another if there's someone that needs assistance, and it might be more than one agency can cover. So we offer an emergency prescription assistance that anyone who goes to, say, the Salvation Army in Ishmael or Marquette, they can refer them to us so that we can help in that manner. And same with Room at the Inn. Oftentimes, we will help their guests obtain birth certificates or driver's licenses or state IDs, because you need the certificates to get into housing, and you need the IDs and driver's licenses for jobs. So we make it a point to know one another, to work together, call one another, and we attend different meetings because they all focus on the same thing.
Okay. You want to add something here, Doug?
Yeah, just that we refer people regularly. We've given rides to people to get over to Room at the Inn. We all have to work together to pull this off and to help the people of the county.
Okay. The figures from the last census, American Community Survey, it's called, are sobering. Michigan is typical of states hit longer and deeper by the recession, mostly Rust Belt states like Ohio and Indiana. Median household income has grown to around $51,000, double the poverty level, which is set at $24,000 for a family of four. Is that still what you're working with here?
Pretty much so.
Okay. It's still 7% lower than what people were earning in 2007. The statewide poverty rate is 15.8% is more than a point higher than the national average. Both UP measures compare unfavorably with median income near $40,000 and a poverty level around 17%, which happens to be about the rate for Marquette County, by the way. That's all the lofty view, of course. How does it look to you from street level? What's the picture like vis-a-vis your clients?
Well, Bill, I know from our history with the shelter that what we're seeing now is a younger population. Initially, we had a half dozen individuals that would be staying with us between the ages of 30 and 50.
Okay.
And today, it's, again, 15 to 20 people. The average age probably now is in the upper 20s.
Yeah.
And that brings a whole a different set of issues or challenges, and the population does not seem to be shrinking at all, which is probably the most disturbing of, with all the efforts put forth from all different areas, mm-hmm. that it, whatever impact we're having doesn't seem to be nearly enough.
You know, the statistics sometimes have the effect of kind of washing out the victims, you know, mm-hmm. or washing out the real problem. What about overlaps or interactions with people with mental health problems and drug problems?
Well, it's still probably one of the bigger challenges today. Where before you might have had somebody who was homeless who maybe had a drinking problem, and that they lost their job, lost their family, there was a history there. I mean, they had life skills. They'd lived for a while. They'd done okay. Whereas today we're seeing, again, many more younger people who have a drug issue mm-hmm. and do not have the reserves. They don't have the life experiences to draw upon, and they can live day to day. But in terms of looking for a future or the idea that, boy, I want to get well because I can see where I want to be, and they don't have that vision.
Okay. Well,
a very micro level, mm-hmm. We've seen registrations for our food pantry increase over the last 3 months by a staggering 40%. So we're
really
closing in on needing 50% more food to support our pantries right now because of the need increasing.
Okay, food safety, big thing for St. Vincent's.
Yes, huge. And you see it across the board. It isn't just the low income. You know, there's a term called the working poor. And many people are affected by reduced hours, jobs that have been outsourced. People that used to be our donors are experiencing some food insecurity challenges where it might have been a bump in the road in the past, but they had savings. Now they're hitting that bump really hard, and they may have to come to our agencies for temporary assistance.
Okay. All these pantries depend upon community generosity, is that right? How's that working?
You know, we just finished the can drive here in the county and across the UP. We rely on those drives. The same with the U.S. Postal Service drive happens later in the year. Those fill our shelves for a period of time, and we deplete off that. But it's not just those drives. It's the regular ongoing contributions that people give us that keep the pantry going.
Okay. In terms of referrals for pantries, pretty busy there?
Well, from our standpoint, because we operate the warming center every day, that we're serving close to 2,000 meals every month. And almost all that is with donated food we don't spend much money to buy it ourselves. We provide the venue and the volunteers to serve it. And so it's that number is steadily increasing. So the need is there. And again, many folks, as Lori said, the working poor who maybe they have housing, but they have very little else. And so they appreciate being able to come to the Warming Center and having a hot meal every day.
Okay.
And St. Vincent de Paul is a little different because the Marquette District has the food pantry, but they give food every single week to families, where in other locations with St. Vincent de Paul, it's not as often. But we also purchase our food. So the Marquette District is paying $11,000 to $14,000 a month, where we had been paying almost $18,000 a month. We work with Feeding America and with Walmart, and as Doug mentioned, the TV6 Canathon, the Boy Scouts, the postal drivers, any of those that have donations. And we often see more donations from businesses this time of year. But it's a combination of purchasing and donations.
What's the need right now? You need more help?
Absolutely. The can drive, very successful. One of the things that we don't get in can drives necessarily is protein sources. So meat, fresh produce, those healthy things that are good for you don't always arrive in a can. Mm-hmm. And so, as Lori said, we're purchasing some supplies to supplement and provide a little bit more healthy environment.
Okay. One possible difference in the population served may be residents. Most clients are from here, but the Salvation Army has a long history of helping transients, which can include homeless people and families. What's typical in efforts to provide some stability for these people, or is it really just a daily process?
I think it varies day to day who walks in the door and what kind of assistance they need. Who can we refer them to if we don't offer those services? We have a brochure that was created by one of our volunteers of Vincentian from St. Michael's Parish, and it lists all the community resources. It's very helpful. We can hand it out to people. We have some down at the Warming Center. One of the other churches has it, so they can give it to their deacons and that. And then if we don't know, we call.
Uh-huh. And part of it, really, when people walk through our front door, we're looking at the most basic needs, food and shelter. Before we can begin to address whatever challenges they may be facing, we want to give them a hot meal and make sure they know they have a place to stay. And from there, they have an opportunity to move forward. So that's our whole focus.
I'm going to take a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners that we're talking about assistance for needy people with Marquette County Salvation Army Captain Doug Winters, UP St. Vincent de Paul Executive Director Lori Schmidt, and Room at the Inn Executive Director Douglas Russell. The some say housing has become a critical policy issue, and there have been community efforts to address the shortage. What do you think could be done to expand these initiatives in our area? Any ideas?
There is obviously still a big need for affordable housing, but I know for many of my guests that they're not really good candidates for independent living. And of course they don't make the best tenants based on their own histories, and they can get shut out of different housing options. And so from my standpoint, looking at what other communities around the country have done, really based on a Department of Health and or the Housing and Urban Development with Housing First, the idea that you need shelter first. We can deal with your other issues after that, but whether you have a felony or you have a drug issue or an alcohol problem, whatever it might be, we first want to get you into housing, get your life stable, and then begin to address some of your other challenges. We don't have that here. I don't know if it's anywhere actually in Michigan, but larger cities around the country have done it. Duluth, Minnesota has an 80-unit apartment building downtown where it's staffed 24/7 because a lot of these folks are looking, they need to have that support service right on site. And yet it provides them with that stability to help them get better and move forward. And for a lot of my guests, that's a need that I know we need to create here in Marquette.
Well, if you try to find housing somewhere else, you're going to have to explain to whoever you're trying to encourage to give someone a room that they're a good tenant, as you say. Has that caused some problems, Lori?
It has caused problems. In the past, we were able to use local hotels and put people up for a night or two. And then it kind of changed over time. Just as Doug mentioned, the people that used to come at the room at the end may have had alcohol problems, but now you're seeing people with drug problems. And we're seeing people that weren't as respectful of the hotel and motel owners, and so they've done property damage. And a lot of the local hotels have said no, that they're not willing to have us send people over, whether we're paying or a different church community's paying, or they might say we'll do it one night at a time and we're going to do a room check every day, and that will determine if they can stay again. But it isn't the way it used to be.
It's not automatic or anything like that. That leaves, this is one of the complaints that comes from a lot of county sheriffs, that leaves the jail, right?
As the only option.
I know from talking to those people, they're doing the best they can, but it can be pretty overwhelming for an ordinary jail. Do you visit people there?
I do not. I know we have some of our volunteers that are involved with those activities. But that is part of the challenge. And again, it's you're looking at making community investments. How do we spend our dollars? And we're willing to spend money for emergency room costs or our jail costs. In my case, I gave the county jail a list of 25 of my guests, and I said, I know they've been your guest some point in time over the last 12 months. How many nights have they been here?
Okay.
That list of 25 generated 1,100 nights at the county jail.
Wow.
And that ain't free.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the hospital. They're the same 25. I asked the hospital, I know they've been in the emergency room or they've been admitted. And over the last 12 months, can you tell me how much you billed against their names in that period of time? Those 25 people generated $1 million in health care costs.
Okay.
Another issue that's driving the homelessness is we're seeing a group of people that just aren't able to survive on their own, whether it's mental health issues or just life skills. Learning how to understand to pay your bills before the bill with the pink envelope comes, it's a concept that's foreign to some. And so counseling, and Lori, I know you do this on your side as well, counseling with people and just helping them understand how you pay your bills, paying your bills regularly, keeps them in the houses they have today, keeps them off the streets. And that's a program that I think we have to expand if we're going to get to the root of homelessness.
Okay. A little further down the road in that direction, though, large income disparities, high unemployment, including discouraged workers and underemployed people, and general poverty being attributed to low economic growth and lack of skilled labor, not just life skills, but skills once you happen to accomplish some of those gains. Education and job training are part of Goodwill Industries' mission. Do they figure into any of the services you provide?
One of the programs that we use, government programs, Experience Works and Michigan Works, we rely on those people very heavily to run the programs that we have today. Those are programs where the government is helping support the salary, and we're teaching them skills. So whether it's janitorial skills, kitchen skills, even front office skills, word processing, our job is to help train them, and they get viable employment from that as a stepping stone to get back into the workforce.
Okay. We also have some from Experience Works and then some from Goodwill when they train some of the younger adults primarily that have some type of disability. And then they come and volunteer and again get more skills, interact with more people and that. And it's been a very positive collaboration with Goodwill Industries.
Okay. Let's talk about a population that has to begin a lot earlier in terms of learning these things. The 2016 Kids Count data profile for the UP shows a poverty level among children up to 17 years old of about 21%, and it's higher, I think, in the neighborhood of 25% for children up to 5 years old, just 0 to 5. Less than half the population of eligible kids are enrolled in preschool in the UP, according to Kids Count data. And the question here is, are there specific programs and challenges in providing services aimed at children?
There are challenges. We are seeing more and more single female-headed households, which is pretty much a precursor to living in poverty. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get a job that will, you know, be able to afford you income, but trying to find childcare and transportation and all of these things are really stacked up against these single female-headed households.
Yeah.
Head Start and early Head Start are great programs, but again, if you don't have a good support system to help, it's nearly impossible.
Okay.
Another challenge is just lack of volunteers to help run the programs.
That's a big question here.
You look at who you'd want to, the profile of a person you'd want to put in front of the kids, and it requires doing a background check on the person to make sure that the kids are kept in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the other factor is just providing stability as well. And so someone who's really willing to volunteer over a long period of time to develop a relationship, to work with the kids through their specific challenges. In our case, we would rely on volunteers to help run those programs, and big challenge there.
Okay. Doug, how about room at the end? Are you seeing many children?
You have to be 18 to stay at the shelter.
Okay.
And so we will.
So even families with kids, people over 18 wouldn't be.
Correct. We get the occasional family that will show up at the shelter, and we do whatever we can on an emergency basis, but connect them to the other agencies here in town that serve homeless families.
Okay. Are you seeing enough volunteers to meet the need in terms of your operation?
Well, I've got this great group of volunteers that always are standing right behind me, about 1,000 strong, because we use about 400 volunteer hours every single week. But we can always use more. It is a matter of between the two operations that there's that big need that goes on every single day. And so we're always looking for new volunteers. We do offer trainings every month to get people a 90-minute orientation to volunteer at the shelter. And it's an ongoing challenge.
Okay.
But it's tremendous what the effort that they put forth for our programs.
How about volunteers for St. Vincent's? Some of your volunteers are actually learning as they're doing this, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And we have volunteers in our thrift stores. We have volunteers in our food pantries. Things like that. And I think all of us face the same thing, is that many of our volunteers become snowbirds. And I know a lot of our snowbirds go south and help at St. Vincent de Paul elsewhere.
Okay.
Because I've talked to those executive directors. But you do have people that go away for the winter, and then it's a little light. And if it's kind of like everyone's watching to see who's going to retire and which nonprofit can grab them first and get them involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge to get them. And good people know good people, so we always encourage them to contact their family members and relatives and neighbors to join with any of our agencies.
Okay. Captain Winters, other areas where volunteers would be a big help right now?
Yeah, with all of our programs, there's seasonal activities that go on, and I have to just mention that for our Thanksgiving dinner, we had 40 volunteers show up to just help serve a dinner. It was incredible. It was great to see that kind of outpouring from the community of volunteerism. But programs going on right now with the toy drop leading up towards Christmas, and Santa's Workshop, St. Vincent de Paul is very involved in that as well. Christmas dinner on Christmas Day that the Kiwanis Club supports here in Marquette, but then volunteers needed for that to take dinners to shut-ins and things like that. So always a list of volunteer activities ready to be filled.
Okay. Holidays are often seen as a big fundraising period for helping organizations. How is it going compared to past years in terms of dollars and other contributions?
We're seeing an increase of different people that have stepped up to it, that they recognize this is a difficult time. They watch the news, they listen to the radio and see the paper showing what Michigan is doing compared to other states. And the UP is known for helping one another. I mean, you truly are. Once you say you're a Uper, I mean, we see this when people go elsewhere, they all have Uper celebrations. And those that are here are very good about supporting one another.
I remember someone visiting the UP from out west some years back who told me he likes the UP because people up here still realize they need each other. How about contributions?
Well, December is always my most humbling month.
Okay.
It never ceases to amaze me how generous people are. I see it all year long, but especially around the holidays, and how they will step up and of course be incredibly humble about it. Mm-hmm. That, well, of course we can help out, but still, you have lots of choices. There are many great organizations here in the Marquette area that need that kind of help, and the fact that they would choose from within to be a recipient is amazing. Okay. And it's how we survive. We don't accept any government money, and so it's how we operate from year to year. But the people are just simply amazing. They really are.
Okay. Captain Winters, I know Ishpeming just had its largest fundraiser of the year. I think the largest.
Yes, one of the very big events. Yeah, yep, yeah. At the Venice.
And how's it going overall?
Overall, it amazes me. Like Doug just said, the outpouring that we see over the Christmas season, especially Salvation Army depends real heavily on the donations we collect during the Christmas season. Our big red kettle effort to drive the programs that we run year round. So what we collect in this month will really define what we're going to do next year. Mm-hmm. And so to see the outpouring. Despite very hard economic times here in Marquette County, especially with the mines, to see people digging deep,
really?
People that don't have sometimes to help other people.
Yeah. Given all we've talked about here, what's your general take on America's safety net? Is there, are there funding or policy issues related to charitable giving and services that you would like to see addressed sometime in the near term?
There definitely are areas that could be improved upon. When people look at what is needed, we've talked, and transportation is huge. People who are low income generally
right.
have less than perfect vehicles to
sure.
drive, if you have mass okay. transit or not. If you don't have your driver's license, and if you're homeless, you pretty much don't have a vehicle.
It's hard to work without transportation.
It is. That's a huge key. You need shelter, you need transportation. I think we all do well in providing food and meals. We have a community calendar that lists meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, month by month, day by day, in Ishpeming and Marquette and Gwynn. And the churches are very, very aware of what's needed. And it's just for community meals. It isn't just people who are homeless, but it's to bring us all together. And so I think that need is recognized, and we can help with clothing and that. But shelter and getting people with the right job skills and other issues is huge.
Okay, I'm afraid we have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about the need for assistance across the country and in the Upper Peninsula with Marquette County Salvation Army Captain Doug Winters, UP St. Vincent de Paul Executive Director Lori Schmidt, and Room at the Inn Executive Director Douglas Russell. Again, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Bill. I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.